It's humbling to be here. Like Brother Rusty said, we've known each other a long time. And I don't know what I could share with you that you hadn't already heard from Dr. Tardo. But I'm just going to reinforce something you've probably already heard. Yeah, it was the year of the bicentennial that we got married. And so the year of the 250th, we'll be married 50 years. Thank God. God is good. In between ministries one time, I was bagging groceries at a Piggly Wiggly in Spring Hill, Louisiana. And this guy said, yeah, me and my wife, we've been married, happily married for 30 years. That's not too bad, 30 out of 40. Well, I don't know if they stayed married after that, but this is not a spit bottle. This is actually water. My mic's too low?
Yes, sir.
Fix me. I take my water and I put A&W root beer in it. Tastes like that old Zataran root beer we used to eat, drink when we was kids. I don't like bubbles. So you don't mind if I put it there? One time I went to preach in, I think it was over by Leesville, Louisiana, in a little bitty church. They were looking for a pastor, and it was a small congregation, and it was about the driest worship I'd been in. And I had a glass of water sitting right there, and I get to speaking, and I hit that water, and it gave them all a bath. But they needed it. Hallelujah. I want to turn you to Romans chapter 8, a verse that you have all heard many times. Chapter 8, verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved me. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." How many would say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, the question is not who can separate us from God. A lot of times people mix that up and confuse that. But it doesn't say who can separate us from God. We know that sin separates us from God. Pride separates us from God. Rebellion separates us from God. But it says, who can separate us from the love of God? Twice in 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read that in a minute, but twice in that passage it says, God is love. And clearly nothing can stop God from loving you. God loves the vilest of sinners, the worst person that is going to spend eternity in hell. God still loves them. It wasn't God's desire for them to be where they're at. God has made every provision possible so they wouldn't be there. The love of God is not based on what you do or you don't do. It's based on who he is. And he loves you. And you can never stop him from loving you. John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life. Romans chapter 5, 8, I like to read it from the J.B. Phillips translation, where it says, while we were yet sinners, God proved his love for us and that Christ died on the cross for us. Now, you can't separate God from love. You can't separate God from loving you. He paid the ultimate price because he loves you so much. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 7, we'll start reading. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God? Excuse me. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Back when I was younger, a lot younger, I was perplexed over the question of God's love. I began to read everything I could read that was on that topic and that subject. I started looking back in my young Christian life at all the messages I'd heard on faith and all the messages I'd heard on the hope of his coming. But I couldn't at that time count one message that I'd ever heard anybody ever speak about the love of God as rich and as wonderful as it is. But Scripture makes it clear we love him because he first loved us. In the book, in the Grolier Dictionary, International Dictionary, the word love has a variety of definitions. One is an intense, affectionate concern for another person. That kind of suits the word in the English. The second one is an intense sexual desire for another person. I guess that can apply too. The third one is a strong fondness or enthusiasm for something. Love. But love is often misused in the English language, misused the English word. People confuse love with lust. Lust is about desire. You know, you cannot be tempted to do something that you don't have the desire first to do. The Bible said a man is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. I'll give you an example. You could offer me the best chewing tobacco in the world, the most expensive, and I would have absolutely no temptation to do it. But you pass a strawberry shortcake in front of my dieting face, and that's a whole different story. You got to have a desire to be tempted. But people don't understand the difference a lot of times between love and lust. Love is about giving. Lust is about self. But love is based on others. Someone once said that we should love people and use things, but too often we love things and use people. There are at least four Greek words. Dr. Tartar probably knows if there's more. But there are four Greek words for love. There's more expressions that are translated by the word love. We got that one word, love. But in the Greek, there's the word phileo. And it's it's where we get Philadelphia, brotherly love, city of brotherly love. Phileo, it speaks of a neighborly affection you can have for other people. And it's a natural love. Anybody can experience it. You don't have to be a believer to phileo. Then there's that word eros. I think it's found once in the Bible and translated passion. But it's the word we get erotic from. And it speaks of a sexual sort of love, the kind you have for the opposite sex or your wife. But it's also a natural thing. Everybody, every human being has the capability of eros. Then there's that word storge. Doesn't show up in the Bible, as far as I know. But it speaks of a protective love, a family love. It's the word we get stork from. You know what the stork does? Makes us families, right? You don't believe that, do you? Storge is a natural love. You ever wonder how you can love your family? You don't even know them, and you love members of your family, relatives. It's natural. All of them are natural. But then there's that one other word, and it's not natural. It's a supernatural kind of love. It's that word agape, which we find often in the Bible. It's a divine love. You ever wonder how God could ask us to love even our enemies? How could that be possible? Well, it's not possible with phileo, eros, or storge, but it is possible with agape, because God is agape. God is that kind of love. And Jesus personified that kind of love. There was a fellow by the name of Canon Farr that I read his quote, actually as a foreword to another book. But he said in the classical Koinonia Greek, the word agape was hardly used until after Christ came. I just don't think anybody could really understand what it meant until they saw Jesus live it. He demonstrated it. John 15:3, he said, no greater love has any man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. He proved it, Romans 5:8. We've already read, God proved his love to us. Man's nature is a selfish nature. Philippians 2:21 says, we all seek our own. I'll give you an example how you can prove that. You start telling almost anything about somebody, telling almost anybody, excuse me, about something, some event in your life, and they will cut you off and start telling you about three events in their life. Because we all seek our own. By nature, we're selfish. And I really think part of discipleship is this, that God's trying to get the selfish out of us and the love in us. But man's nature is a selfish nature. Sin's nature is a selfish nature. In Isaiah 14, we read about the fall of Lucifer, and five times in that short passage, it says, I will, I will, I will, I will. And we're born with that I will in us, and we're I will in all our lives. But love's nature is a little bit different. In the garden, looking forward to Calvary and what he was going to face, Jesus cried out, not my will, not my will, but your will be done. And then he went forward and he proved it. Because God loves me, I can love him. See that in John, 1 John 4:19. Because God loves me, he gives me life. John 4:9. The love of God is perfected in those that keep his word, the Bible says. 1 John 2:5. 1 John 3:16 says, I can love the brethren because God loves me. And John 3, 1 John 3:12 tells us that I can be a son of God because he loves me. Hallelujah. Jesus said to his followers, now he had emphasized the great commandment, the two great commandments, the love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Notice the word commandment. You notice that love is not an option, it's a commandment. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then later, he tells the guys, he says, look, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Wow. That we're charged to love each other like Christ loved us. Not an easy thing to do sometimes. Jude 21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, it says at the end of chapter 13. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but it says the greatest of these is love. We put a lot of emphasis on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those that come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. But the greatest of these is love. And we tell people every day, every week, Jesus is coming soon. We've got this hope in us that springs eternal. But the greatest of these is love. Sometimes the most neglected. And after that, greatest of these is love. Chapter 14 starts with this. And I'm going to quote it from the Living Bible. It says, let love be your greatest aim. The word charges us to let love be our greatest aim. What a challenge that is, huh? Jesus said in John 3:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You want to prove your Christianity to people? Don't buy a bigger Bible. I got a bigger Bible because I need to see it. I am 76 years old. But the proof of your discipleship, of your Christianity, is your ability to love. Love one another. Even love your enemies. Who does that? Only Christ and those that want to be like him. I want to kind of wrap this up. Have I gone long enough? No? Because I got another page. If I need, it's still with, all right. Well, I'm going to save this page then for my ending. The Bible tells us how we can demonstrate our love for God. John 16:27 says, let's read it. John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I am come out from God. Your belief, your faith is a demonstration of your love for him. John 15 and verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. So we demonstrate his love by continuing in his love. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You can demonstrate the love of God in your life by keeping his word, by being faithful to what the word says. This is the Faithful Word Assembly. Amen. Be faithful to the word. And then in verse 13 of the passage, it says, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. The greatest love is to give yourself for other people. Pour yourself into people. Pour yourself into the kind of people that others wouldn't care for. Show love to the loveless, to the hurting, to those that don't know it. Let them know that God is more than just a figurehead, but God is love, and you're an example of his love. Now, keep in mind that God has made promises to those that love him. John 14, 21. God. Whoop, I done passed it up. Somebody got coffee on my Bible. I'm just kidding. It wasn't coffee. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. God's promise to you that walk in his love and keep his word is that he will love you. Well, we know that. You can't separate God from his love. Aren't you glad? Think about that for a minute. You look in the mirror and you see you, and sometimes you don't like you. But in the midst of that, God loves you. Hallelujah. Andre Crouch had a song years ago. You remember? I don't know why he loves me, but I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. Romans 8:28, we all know. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God. I'll tell you, Katrina took a lot from us. We had 27 feet at our house. Took our house off the slab, threw it in the front yard. I had never seen the hand of God move in such a way as I saw that he did after Katrina. I would keep you all night telling you about the things God did for us after Katrina and poured into our lives. Unbelievable. I scratch my head now and I look back and say, how did all this happen? But God did it. He can make tragedy into triumph, adversity into victory. He can turn things around for you, and he will. You may not see it right now, but the love of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that, what? That love him. What can separate us from the love of God? We know the answer is nothing. What can separate us from God? In Revelation chapter 2, we find that the church of Ephesus had drifted from the love of God. Look at that, verse 4. It says, verse 4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Couples get married, they're gaga over one another, in love, and then after a little time and a little rough edges wear off, they kind of drift. You know, you've heard the story of the woman that said, you know, we used to sit close together in the car when we were riding, but now we don't. And the guy says, I never moved. Yeah. Well, God hadn't moved either. He still loves you just as much as he did the first day he met you, or you met him. And then we get a little routine. We get a little take it for granted. And we drift. And if I asked you to show hands of who's ever experienced a drift in their life, you'd be lying if you didn't raise your hand. But then he tells them what to do about it. You know, I never till recently thought of this as a marriage counseling sort of verse, but it really is. You know, because he says, go back and do the first works. Look what he says, verse 5. He says, remember therefore from whence you are fallen. One of the best things to do is tell your testimony. Remember what God did in your life. Tell it to others as often as you can. Don't forget it. He said, go back and remember the first works, how you were. And then he said, repent. Remember and repent. Turn back. That's what repent means. Turn back. And he says, then do the first works. You remember you used to hold her hand? Huh? Do the first works. Go back and do the first works. Man, when I first got saved, I couldn't get enough of the word. I read it every night, go to sleep reading it. Every chance I got, I'd read it. I couldn't testify enough. I couldn't tell enough people about Jesus. Everywhere I went, I'd tell people about Jesus. I didn't care who got embarrassed. And my car was covered in bumper stickers. I loaned it to my brother one day. He come back without any bumper stickers. Because he was embarrassed by it. God bless him. We don't want to drift from our first love. Our charge is, our commandment is to love and to walk in the love of God. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above. Now, I'm going to read you a passage. And I want you to close your eyes as I read it. And I don't want to read it to condemn you, but I just want to make you aware of how the Bible itself defines love. I'm sure you've read it before. I'm sure that Brother Rusty has spoken on it before. But I just want you to listen to it, if you would. Everybody close your eyes. I'm not going to have an altar call, but I just want you to listen. Pay attention. Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. That sounds like all of us, doesn't it? It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Ouch. That's what the Bible says about love. That's how the Bible describes the love we're supposed to walk in. Hallelujah. When God brought conviction into my heart about the love of God, that's like I said a minute ago, when I was young. And the one lesson I've learned in it is that it's not a lesson that you can learn once and put it in your backpack and move on. It's a lesson that keeps coming up. It's a lesson you have to keep dealing with. And the great thing is, if you hang out with the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Spend time with the Lord. You know, Mama used to say, be careful about who you hang out with. You start acting like the people you hang out with. Hang out with God for a while and let His characteristics rub off, and you'll walk in the love of God. Brother Rusty.
Appreciate you. That's a blessing. Many years ago, 1974, my wife and I started attending a little charismatic church on the West Bank called West Bank Revival Center. Back then, there were hardly any full gospel churches that were independent. There weren't many at all, just a handful. And I got invited to attend that one because a fella that Diane, one of the neighbors she grew up with, invited us. He had been a dope smoker for a long time. I used to cut his hair. Every time he came to the shop, he was stoned. He came to the shop one time, stone cold sober. And I said, look at you. What's happened to you? I got saved. Got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, changed my life. And you need to come to church with me. He invited my wife and I to go. And we went. And changed our lives too. Met Jeb there. Jeb was, that's how long ago we met. And 52 years ago. I was only 3. Yeah. Where'd the time go, brother? Amen. That was good. That's good. Very good. Thank you, brother. You put together a whole lot of verses dealing with the same subject, and it's a lot to take home and chew on. So, well, Father, thank you once again for allowing us to gather together to read your word, to learn more of you, to be challenged, to be encouraged. And Lord, to remember, Lord, the unfathomable vastness of your love that's beyond our human comprehension. That your love is so big, so deep, so vast, so perfect. That even when we were lost and in sin, the worst kinds of sin, you loved us and drew us to yourself. Help us, Lord, to never forget that love that was then and is now unchanged, unchangeable. And Lord, help us to manifest even just a little bit, Lord, of that kind of love towards our fellow man. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to love our wives, our husbands, our families, our children, to love even those that are very difficult, to love those who tend to irritate us and rub us the wrong way. Help us, Lord, that this flesh, this self, would go to the cross, Lord, and be unoffended and unaffected in our own attitude towards others, Lord. Help us to love like you loved, Lord, just as you call us to do, to love like you loved. It's our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.